Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis.
And I'm Margaret Michael.
Pastor Margaret, would you like to introduce our guest today that is joining us over the phone?
I sure would. Today I get to introduce a friend. Today we have Edie McPherson with us, and we go back, I guess, to the days of my girls being in college. And so it's good to have you here today, and looking forward to spending some time and hearing a little bit more about your story.
How are you doing?
Thank you. I am honored to be here. Thanks. I'm doing well. Yeah, really grateful.
So you are in upstate New York, and mm-hmm. you have been a pastor there in upstate, and then it's really interesting what is happening right now. We can just talk about that, and then we can go into your story.
Yeah. But
an opportunity at Colgate when your husband resigned to go to Penn State, and you're now there filling the chaplain role where he was finishing
That's
up
right.
this year. So we might get back to talking a little bit more about that, but a beautiful story of how God's moving and taking care of all the details, right?
So if you'd like to start out by telling us about where you're from and about how you grew up.
I grew up mostly in Nashville, Tennessee. My dad was a pastor and pastored the college church at Tribeca Nazarene University, now called Tribeca Community Church. I was there most of my childhood, and then in high school, we moved to Florida, where he served as a district superintendent for the North Florida District Church of the Nazarene. And I was there for the 4 years through high school, and then I went to Olivet Nazarene University, and then have moved around a bunch, but I ended up marrying another Nazarene minister, Corey, who we met when he was in seminary at Nazarene Theological Seminary in Kansas City. I was working on my master's at Wichita State University. We ended up meeting, and after he graduated and we got married, we moved to Long Island to start a church on the north shore of Long Island. Corey grew up in Valley Stream, which is just south of Queens. And then we were there 8 years. And then Corey received a call to become the chaplain at Eastern Nazarene College. And that was a whole other story in and of itself. But to make a long story short, we moved there and served there in Quincy, Massachusetts for another 8 years. And then it's been 11 years almost now that we have been in Hamilton, New York, where he served as chaplain and Protestant campus minister at Colgate University. And as Margaret said, he accepted a position as the director for the Center of Spiritual and Ethical Development at Penn State University and started that role in January. So he's doing this weekly commute, and we're in a very liminal space right now, a season mm-hmm. of uprooting and transition. And it is a challenge. and I feel like the Lord is teaching us a lot of lessons and new things. And I thought by the time we get to our 50s, which is where we are, we will have this thing figured out, this thing called life. And I'll feel a sense of settledness, and I won't have that many questions, and everything will be good. And it is good, but it is not settled. And I have many questions. And I think the Lord is, I guess it's a reminder that the Lord never stops forming us, and there are always new things to learn. And so that's what we're doing at this moment. And so, yes, as you said, Margaret, I was invited to step in for as the interim chaplain this semester. And hopefully we'll be relocating to Pennsylvania this summer. So that's the plan.
Yeah. It's that journey. When we say yes to the call, we don't know where that will take us, but we know that
that's
the Lord,
exactly right.
The Lord goes before us, right? He makes a way. And even when we're like, I'm not sure, like he sees it. And we can look back and see so much more than we can looking
forward. That's so true. Yeah. And it's hard when you're in the middle of it to make sense of much at all.
So true.
I think it's only in hindsight that we'll be able to understand what this is all about.
Yeah, I didn't want to miss, you know, you talked about, you thought you'd be kind of settled, and but now you have more questions, maybe. And I think there's something about that when we ask questions. I mean, we have so many great scriptures that are because someone was willing to ask a question, especially of Jesus. And I just think of the rich scripture that we have because people were willing, his disciples were willing to ask questions. And so, I think that's a beautiful thing that shows we're still growing and learning.
Yeah.
And if we get to a place where we just understand everything, I don't know, that would only be God, right, that understands everything.
Right.
So.
Yeah, that's so true. And the question that when you mentioned that, that immediately comes to my mind is Thomas, when he's asking, you know, show me that you are Jesus. Show me. How do I believe this? And he's unfortunately been named Doubting Thomas. But as Corey says, he should be called Faithful Thomas. Because, and he's actually done all of us a big favor in asking that really hard question, because at this point in this story of Jesus, we have Thomas to thank that Jesus reached out his hand and said, look, here's the scar, feel it, put your hand on my side. And we can appreciate Thomas's question and that Jesus so faithfully answered it for us to have that assurance too.
Yeah, yeah, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Like, we needed to know that. I'm always grateful for people that ask questions. I think that's in our world today. I think if we asked more questions, I think we would be healthier, honestly.
Yeah.
And so it's just a good reminder to us that if we don't understand, to ask a question.
And how many of the other disciples, if they hadn't have been there, would have asked the same question Thomas did?
And it also reminds me that Jesus wasn't upset by his question. He didn't dismiss it or say, how could you ask that? Or that's a silly question. He welcomed it. And I think as Christians, I think, you know, we're invited to welcome people's questions, meeting people where they are and giving them the space to ask hard questions and not dismissing them or looking down on them or thinking you shouldn't have asked that. But even just holding space for people to come with their questions and process, because we're all learning and growing and processing together. And I think the body of Christ is called to hold people and their questions and to answer them together through prayer and scripture. Right.
I had someone recently tell me they came to the church here. They're pretty new. And they had stopped going to church because they were told they couldn't question. They couldn't ask the questions. And one of the first things that day, I know the Lord did it because I had no idea, but just was like, hey, if you all have questions, like, please ask the questions. And they're like, we can ask questions? Like, people want to know in this world. People want to ask questions. And so a heart posture of being open to answering them, I think, is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure working at Colgate, you probably get a few questions.
Yeah, you know, it's been a really, a very, I mean, I've learned a ton in serving here, and I was raised, you know, really in the bubble of the Church of the Nazarene. That was my life. Yeah. I mean, my grandparents were ministers, my aunts and uncles were ministers, and my parents, I was married to one, and it's really all I knew. And so I have often wondered if this move here to Hamilton, which was nothing we expected, was for me to engage in a culture that wasn't what I had grown up in. And I mean, I went to public schools and everything, and you know, it's not like I was totally sheltered, but I think Colgate has helped me learn how important it is to engage with people from all walks of life. And learn alongside of them, and to be like, to represent what my faith journey as a Christian to people who don't have that same faith. And I think that's what Corey, my husband, has been, you know, this set him on this trajectory, I guess, to engage more in interfaith work, because Colgate is not a Christian institution. Though it was originally founded as a Baptist Bible college, it has long since severed ties with any religious affiliation. But one thing they do allow is for church to take place. and they allow for religious groups to meet. And so the chapel basement at Colgate is a hub of interfaith work. And there are all different religious groups that meet there. And every Sunday night, Colgate University Church has church. We can be the church. And I'm so thankful for that and for the opportunity that we have to engage and explore. And like you said, ask questions with colleagues and students and people who are from different walks of life. Because I think, and I attribute this to Corey too, as the Bible teaches us, we get to know God more as we get to know people more. As each of us is created in the image of God, as I understand you in your story, I'm catching a glimpse of who God is. And I just think there's so much to learn through conversations with people, not just those who think like we do, but and with those who think very differently. And we don't have to compromise our faith or convictions to do that. But I think we can learn about our God even more and come to know and love God even more through our conversations with others from other walks of life. So that's been huge for me here. And such an honor to be a part of.
And that really comes through in who you are. And it's beautiful. I love that about you. And I just think that when we're asked questions, and I didn't know this podcast today was going to be about questions, but it just feels like that's kind of the route it's going.
That's good, because I got plenty.
So when we ask questions, or when someone asks a question of us, is more like the thought process that I'm having. When someone asks a question of us and we are not really sure what that answer is or how we feel about the question, I think it takes us on a deeper journey, you know? And I think sometimes that may be one of the reasons that it's easier to have ideas of how we, you know, to look at a certain group or whatever and just believe this about them as a group instead of as individuals. But it's so different when you sit with an individual and you get to talk with them, and there are hard questions. But I think we grow in our faith, and like you said, we learn more about God in that scenario, probably more so than being with everyone that is like us.
Yeah, and I think us being able to tell people if we don't have the answer to something, well, let me check into that, or let me get back with you, or I'm not really sure.
It's okay not to know it all, isn't it?
So, Edie, you shared about growing up in the church and growing up in the Nazarene church. And for those of us that were fortunate enough to grow up in the church, at some point our faith has to become our own. Like, we have to make the decision, not just because it's what our parents and our grandparents raised us in, but because we have to have our own faith. So do you remember at what age you sensed the Lord causing you or pulling, tugging at your heart?
Yeah, I do. I was actually in college, and I think it was maybe my junior year, and I was just really going through a season of exactly what you're talking about, Grace, and thinking about my faith very deeply and wondering, why do I believe what I believe? You know, I've been raised in this. This is all I've known, but why? And I was taking a class where we were exploring world religions, and I was actually writing a paper on Islam, and I remember going in and having a conversation with a professor who played such a formative role in my time at Olivet. His name is Dr. David Cale. And I was a communication major, and he was the head of the communication department in those years. And I just remember him, I was sharing with him my thoughts and what I was wrestling with. And all he did was speak to his experience of how Jesus showed up for him. He didn't try to convince me. He didn't try to persuade me. He didn't preach to me. All he did was speak about what Jesus did for him in his life and how Jesus showed up and met him where he was. And I walked out of his office that day feeling a sense of like, that's all it's about. It's just about, it's about this personal relationship with Jesus, and that we are invited to walk hand in hand with the creator of the universe. And I can't explain it exactly, but I just walked out of his office that day with a sense of peace and knowing that this life, this faith, isn't about proving anything to anybody. It's not about having to get everything right or know all the answers. It really is about loving Jesus and walking with Jesus every day, trusting and letting him lead and write our story. And there's no better way to live. Even on the hard days where I can't see the future and I don't know how things are unfolding, when things seem heavy or complicated, there's no better way to live than trusting in the one who can see all of that and the one who does have a plan for each of us. And so, for me, it was that season in college that I really came out on the other side with a faith that I knew I would hold fast to for the rest of my life. Mm,
that's beautiful. And it is like God doesn't have any grandchildren. We all have to figure it out. And God is so gracious to us in that figuring out. And he's so faithful in that. So that is so foundational. And just the thought, you did grow up in the church, literally.
Mm-hmm.
You have quite a history, especially with the Nazarene Church in your family. And that didn't cause you just to have this strong faith. It laid a foundation. You mm-hmm. had the foundation, which is such a gift, but it does come down to engaging it personally.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, I started out like, my undergraduate and graduate studies were in communication, and I've done many things over the years, but as we're here in Hamilton and my kids are getting older, I don't know, I just started doing a little soul searching and asking about, you know, Lord, what do you have next for me? Because I was so devoted, like I felt like my deepest calling in life was to be a mom, and I'm so grateful for that opportunity. And it is a privilege. And I, to make a long story short, kind of did a pivot about 5 years ago and found myself back in school, and I attended seminary. And I really wasn't sure. I just felt like that was the next step. I didn't know. I didn't have this plan like, I'm going to go to seminary and I'm going to do this. Mm-hmm. I was going to go to seminary and that's all I knew.
Yeah.
But I was thinking about that recently, that even though I didn't have a plan and I still don't know how it's all going to play out, I would not have had the opportunity to serve as an interim pastor here at one of our local churches had I not done that. And I would not have had the opportunity to serve as an interim chaplain at Colgate had I not done that. So even, you know, in these few years following, and actually I started pastoring while I was still in seminary. So those, it was already like God was giving me opportunities to use that education. And so I don't know what the future holds. I'm just trusting that he'll continue to use this education for, you know, his purpose and glory. But it has been encouraging to look back and see how he's already, it wasn't for nothing.
Yes.
That there's purpose in it. And I'm still seeing that unfold in real time, I guess.
Well, speaking of your children, for those listening that may not know, Edie is Catherine McPherson's mother that is on staff here as our children's director. And it's been a real joy to get to know her. And I know that you enjoyed being her mama, because I certainly enjoy being her friend. just a delightful young lady and doing such a great job here. And it's a joy. Also, recently, you were our women's retreat speaker. And I was just thinking about, again, another opportunity, not that you have to be a pastor to speak at a retreat, but it was very obvious in that setting that God had prepared you and has gifted you to preach and share the good news in just a tremendous way. Unashamedly, a plug, if you need a women's retreat speaker or if you need a pastor to fill in, I'm just call Edie.
Thank you.
It was truly a blessing to sit under your teaching. And so it is. It's doing the next thing, right? Like what we feel God.
Yeah.
And we're like, well, why would I do that? We don't have to know why.
Yeah.
We just need obedience to take that next step.
That's right. Yeah, that's true. Thank you. Yeah, and it is interesting, too, like the connections and the way God orchestrates our lives. I think Catherine maybe already talked about this, but she ended up in Harrisonburg for her master's program at James Madison and needed a place to live for a summer. And because we knew Sydney, from ENC, mm-hmm. and we knew you guys. You were the people that the one, you know, family we really felt a connection to in Harrisonburg. And so she did live with you for mm-hmm. more than a summer, yeah. for yes, a year, and it kind of got her footing and ended up loving Harrisonburg. And is we're just so grateful for her opportunity to serve on staff there. And she loves what she does, and she loves people. And I'm just so grateful that our lives intersected in the ways that they did yeah. back, you know, at ENC. And we love your daughters and your family, and super grateful.
Yeah, it's just a really cool part of the story. And you shared this at retreat, and it's a really precious story to me, because it was just God's provision. When Sydney went to ENC, I told her she needed to have a family that she, you know, she needed to find a family that could be family to her while she was there. And I remember her telling me that she had written a kind of a formal letter. Her and another girl had written this invitation to make themselves welcome at your house for Sunday lunch. And you all graciously accepted that. And it was amazing.
It was our honor to do that. It was just the best. I still have the invitation. I'm trying to find it. But yeah, it was formal. We cordially invite ourselves to the home of the McPherson's every Sunday for dinner. And I just thought that was priceless. And of course you can come. So anytime we had dinner, they were welcome.
Yeah.
And that's how we got to know them. Yeah. And we love Sydney. So much, and just enjoyed being in her life for those years. And yeah. Olivia too, though, we left shortly after she got there.
Yeah, I remember coming and having lunch at your house as well. So you extended it to the whole family, and that was just a real blessing to sit in the space that she got to sit in every week. So yeah, it's just yeah. I love God's tapestry of his people and how he weaves us together. And it's been such a joy to be in Catherine's life and now work with
her. Yeah. And, you know, Margaret, hearing you say that, you know, it makes me think about the calling of hospitality and how that nurtures conversations and provides space for questions. And so, you know, I think we have this invitation upon our lives to be hospitable, where we welcome people in and let them be who they are, meeting them where they are, letting them learn and process and grow. And I don't know, when you shared that just made me think of that. Like that, it's so rich. It's just such a beautiful invitation that hopefully helps other people, but it actually deepens us in our walk with the Lord. And so I'm really thankful for those times.
Yeah. We've had several people that have lived with us over the years. And Catherine was just the easy child. She was, you know, we've had girls stay with us over the years since the girls were in elementary school. Like, we've had someone off and on in our home at different ages, teenagers, young children. And I've been asked a few questions. And, you know, it is a space. When we have the hospitality, not only for someone to open their home, but their heart to the conversations that can come out of those. And I've seen the Lord work in that.
It's yeah.
powerful. I think, you know, Jesus calls us just like he did, just like he made opportunity for conversation with those that were following him, and the rich conversations. And sometimes the disciples got it, sometimes they didn't, but Jesus continued to have the conversation. And we can learn from that too, because sometimes it's like I told Pastor Kevin just today, I said, sometimes it's just a long obedience while we allow God to work out the details of people's lives. We want to see immediate change. We want them to think like we think, and it's not overnight. It's a long journey of obedience.
That's right.
To be there.
And God's so gracious. That's right. I don't think God is out here rushing us to figure it out today. He's so gracious with time and gives us time to learn and time to grow. And he doesn't reveal everything all at once and say, all right, this is everything, now figure it out.
We couldn't take it if he did that.
It's his grace that is so gradual, that allows us to process and to grow and to learn one thing at a time. And he doesn't expect us to be perfect or to have it all together, that he's going to walk us through and teach us as we go. And so that's, it's just always an ongoing learning process. As I've learned, and as now I'm in my 50s and I don't have it all figured out.
That's what I keep saying. I am almost 60 years old and I'm still, you know, have questions and I'm learning so much, and I'm just so grateful for God's grace to us. And just reminded that it's the thing we have that we can extend to others that brings
That's
life.
Right.
Yeah.
Edie, we...
That's right. Yeah.
We call this program Hope Talks, and maybe you've already shared this already, and that's okay if so, but what is bringing you hope right now in your life?
For me, it is really the smallest gift. For example, the sunshine today. That is bringing me hope. Winters in upstate New York are gray, very gray, very long, very cold. And I have learned to pay attention to the smallest things and to call them out, you know, in gratefulness. And we, even when many years ago when our kids were growing up, we started at the end of the day to end with gratitude. So we would invite our kids to say, all right, what are you thankful for today? And we would end our days with gratitude. And we've continued to do that even since the kids have moved on. But I find that I have to do that, not just at the end of the day, but throughout my day, to just keep being mindful of the blessings. And they don't have to be big, big things, just little things. And so for me, what brings me hope is knowing that Jesus is not just in my future, he's not just in my past, but he's in my present moment. Amen. And if I can learn to just live in that, and not have to figure out my future, I think I'll be doing a lot better, you know, because I know he holds the future. I know he holds the past, but he's active right here in this moment. And so if I can, my lesson this year with all of our transition really has been to stay grounded in the moment I'm in. Mm-hmm. And let God guide. And that has brought me hope. And some moments are really hard and heavy, but I know that Jesus is present in each and every one. And that's what brings me hope.
That's beautiful. He is, we know that he has our future and we know that he has our past. And if the enemy can keep us out of appreciating him in the present,
that's right.
He wreaks havoc when we, and I'm guilty of dwelling anywhere than
That's
the present.
Right.
You know, if we can just stay grounded, like you said, in the present, it's sweet. It's a sweet presence.
Right. And it really is liberating because it's a reminder that we can't control. I don't know what the next minute's going to hold. Right. So why worry?
That's right.
There's not much I can do about that. I mean, certainly we can prepare or plan as best we can for what's necessary. But really, I think staying grounded in the moment is so important. And for me, that also includes being very present to the people who I'm face to face with or who I'm speaking with. Because I think we all have jobs where we have goals and things that we have to get done. But I think the people we encounter through that work is more important than the work itself. I feel like the people are the purpose of the work,
right?
More than anything else.
Yeah. Those divine appointments.
Yeah. Well, Edie, thank you for joining us on Hope Talks today. It's been great to have you.
Well, thank you. What an honor. It's been such a wonderful conversation, and I'm really just so thankful that you thought to talk to me, and love talking with you. So thank you so much.
We'll have to have another conversation.
Yeah.
We'll
another day.
I would love that.
Yeah.
Thanks for being willing.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. We pray that as you've heard Edie McPherson's testimony today, that it truly has been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.